If you have questions or comments, just put them in the chat. And also, if there's something wrong, like I can see there's a bit of a glare on our whiteboard. So if you can't see that, just let me know and I will put that in the chat as well.
It looks
so that
good.
You can see it a little bit better.
Give me to move it forward.
It's okay. You left.
I'll read it.
Oh. I'm trying to use my mouse on my iPad. We are going to get started in just a minute, y'all. Bear with us. Or bear with me, I should say. Yeah, it was better before. Yeah, maybe a little bit out on your side. Like towards me on your hand. Right, oh, but no, not that far. Right. Yeah, that looks good. Okay. Oh, all right. We've got some more joining us on Zoom, and then we're going to get started. Okay, and I don't think that I have any announcements. Are there any questions about how to find the materials? If so, oh, Janet, do you? Oh, no, never mind. I thought I saw a little hand up. If there are any questions about how to find materials online for the class, just let me know in the chat, and I will answer that in the chat at some point this evening. All right, so again, if you do have questions or comments, please put that in the chat, whether you are on YouTube or on Zoom. And for those of us here in the GAPA, we can just raise our hands and ask questions in here. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Steve for a minute or so, and then we'll get started with some prayers.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Is anybody here for the first time on Zoom or here? Okay. I'm guessing no on Zoom. All right, so we are almost halfway through Samsara. Wouldn't that be nice? We're going to get started with some prayers, but I want to mention something about them. So last week, if you remember, I talked about kind of three scopes. So I'm going to ask Linda to read the refuge prayer, and she's going to read it three times. And you'll see a lot of Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, things are done in threes, you know, people prostrate three times. And one of the things that you can do when you do things three times is the first time, think about the first wish and the first scope, which is to, you know, if we're going to again use the analogy of samsara as a prison cell, then that all of your lifetimes in this prison cell are, you have as many of the best facilities and causes possible so that you're making that wish. You know, so when you take refuge or when you prostrate, it's with that hope that each lifetime is just leading you upwards. And then the second time, it's with the wish that that progression upwards leads you out of the prison. You're free from samsara. You're free from all the sufferings we've been talking about. And then the third one is that not only are you free of the prison, but you're able, because of your pathway out, to have helped those who are also trying to get out. So with those intentions, and then this prayer is meant to kind of be a ramp for your intention, which we're going to talk about afterwards. It's because we set our intention in Buddhism. Intention is so important, not only in Buddhism, but in the law. It's pretty important, too. If you're on trial, they'd be trying to figure out your intent. So here, it's a different kind of trial. And we're trying to raise our intention to the highest possible. And so in this way, you know, we're building it up to the very top. And this refuge prayer is meant to help us, to help guide us to do that. So you can repeat it or you can just listen to it. It's totally up to you.
Okay.
And Linda's going to...
Sorry, Steve. I had it open.
That's okay. She's going to bring the prayers up for the people online to see. And if you have the book, I believe it's page 34.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. So if you're here in the Gompa with us, it is page 34 in that gold prayer book. And otherwise, you can just stay muted and I'll read it three times. So we're going to do taking refuge and generating bodhicitta. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings.
So if you're looking in the book, it's written a little bit differently. There's lots of different ways to write this, but the idea is the same. And it's kind of like with the 12-step program. You know, the first step is that I'm here. I'm in this samsaric suffering. It's bigger than me. I need a way to get out. I need some help. And so I'm taking refuge in this pathway out. That's the whole idea. Because we take refuge in all kinds of things all day long, you know. Launch movies, our insurance policy, but this one is specifically designed for our liberation. All right, so we're going to do a brief meditation just to shake Monday off and focus and be here. So get into a comfortable position. The most important thing is that your back is straight. So if you're sitting in a chair, try to have your feet flat on the floor. Sometimes if you meditate at home on it in a chair, then you might want to put a cushion under your rear because it kind of pushes your hips higher than your knees, and this helps you line up and stay alert and not have to use your muscles to force yourself. You're trying to get your vertebrae to kind of balance on each other so you can relax your muscles but still be alert. And then your shoulders, you know, you want your elbows back, your shoulders relaxed. If you want to have the hand mudra of meditation, then the left hand is right under your navel. The right is gently resting in on top, and your thumbs are just touching as though they're holding a piece of paper, and you bring that to your midpoint right below your navel. So then again, you keep your arms out away so that your breathing can be deep, and you want your head, the top of your head, which is really the crown, it sometimes feels like the back, you know, it's like where you're probably where that little swirl of hair is in the back, that part is the highest. So you dip your neck, your chin just a little bit. Put your tongue at the back of your teeth. This helps relax your jaw and also prevents drooling. And then you can keep your eyes a little bit open if you want some light in to keep you alert, or just gently closed. And then we're going to do a focus meditation in a minute, just focusing on your breath. But before we do that, bring your mind also to intention and how important intention is, that you could do all the right things, all the right postures, all the right words, but if your intention isn't behind it, it's pretty not helpful. And likewise, if you mess up some of these other things, if your intention is pure and strong, then the other things are not that important. So think of your intention in coming here and studying this material and attending, you know, and start with those three scopes that we talked about. So include yourself, you know, something interested you. Maybe you want to reduce the stress in your life, increase the peace. Something brought you to study this. So think about that for a minute and try to really generate that, because you know, we all got here on a Monday. We all tuned in on a Monday, which is an achievement in itself. It takes energy. So now we want to kind of rev that, put our foot on the accelerator a little bit and really feel that intention. And then looking at how, if we accomplish that, if we accomplish our goals, how it will increase our peace. It will increase our happiness. It will increase our wisdom. And how that is the gateway out of whatever we're struggling with. And that that benefit will not only help us, but all those we encounter, all those around us, people we know, people we don't know. You know how you're influenced by someone who has just this good vibe that affects your whole day. So we try to increase our intention that the benefit would be shared. And that ultimately this benefit, this one thing leads to another. One good goal achieved, one more piece of wisdom. Eventually, step by step, this leads us completely out of our samsaric prison. And with the ability to hold the door open for others. And that with that intention, just now put all of your focus on your breath. And as your mind wanders away, which it will do, you kindly bring it back to your breath. And you can count your breaths as a way to tie your mind to this ability to focus. And as it focuses just on the breath, try to even feel, hopefully, some of the other things dropping away from your mind. All the things that were happening this day, all the things you're thinking about for tomorrow, any discomfort you have or even excitement can just kind of melt away off of you into the floor. That as you count each breath, each inhale, exhale is one, the next as two, and so forth, you can sometimes feel the energy of your mind like an ocean. And as the thoughts start to pull in, it's like a wave trying to rise up. And if you put all of your attention on those thoughts that are rising with gentleness, they sometimes just go back down into the ocean. And just like there's a pause between your inhale and exhale, there's often a pause between the waves of your thoughts. So then the point is to try to expand that pause and rest in that pause. Now for the next like 5 minutes, just focusing on your inhalation and exhalation. All right. So any questions from last week before I don't know, anything left over that is pressing, and we'll see if I can weave that into the conversation.
I don't have anything on either YouTube or Zoom at this time, Steve. But if questions do arise, please put them in the chat. And of course, if you're in person, just raise your hand.
And also, before we at the end, Linda's going to show people how to get to recordings of the classes. If you can't make one and you want to catch up, there's recordings of these. Thank goodness I'm not seeing those. And there was something else, Linda, that we were going to...
You sent me a link for an article for the homework.
Right.
For tonight.
So part of the challenge is, you know, we're trying to cover all this material in 4 weeks, and the class is just an hour because we're just kind of experimenting with all this. So I'm really trying to pack it all in and streamline. So there's an article that Linda will send out, or... Is that right?
Yeah, I can actually put it in the chat box, and also if you are accessing the Discovering Buddhism materials online, it will be in the homework. So every week, like usually, you know, on Monday night once I'm home, I can post the homework for tonight's, you know, this week's class. So look for that online, but I can also go ahead and put that link in the chat as well.
Okay, thanks. It's a really concise article about the 12 links of dependent origination. So you usually, I think outside in the lobby, you'll see that wheel of life and kind of like monster looking thing holding it. That's a really great teaching on all kinds of things. And we could do a whole week long teaching on that alone, because just like in the Christian tradition where teachings were in the stained glass, you know, for people who couldn't read, the stained glass provided a way to teach. Same with a lot of like the tankas, and also with the Wheel of Life, talks a lot about samsara, how to get out of samsara. It's like Four Noble Truths are just packed in there. So this article will really explain a lot. And then we'll try to go over a little bit of it on like the fourth class. So if you can, please take a moment to read that. So quick review for I think everybody was here. You know, we're talking about this beautiful prison we're in. Not always beautiful, but it can be beautiful, especially for those of us living in a relatively peaceful place. It's called samsara, and we have... You know, we're just cycling through it over and over and over again. So that's the definition of samsara, is this this uncontrolled cyclic existence that we find ourselves in different lives, different forms, different realms. Until we get off of that wheel, that's samsara. And nirvana is the end of that spinning, that uncontrolled spinning through this prison. And a complete enlightenment is when you've generated that wish, that when you are able to not just free yourself from suffering, but you have complete enlightenment in terms of that is also to benefit others. So there's these different stages and levels of it, roughly speaking. So then we talked about renunciation. Basically, renunciation is developing the wish to be free of this prison. And I gave you also another definition, which is, you know, knowing that the world, that it doesn't mean going away from the world. It means knowing that the world goes away. So once you know that the world goes away, you relate very differently to this world. It doesn't mean you have to remove yourself and hide from the world or go off into a cave. It's a change of view. That's everything that we're talking about in Buddhism, is a change of view. That it's your mind, you have the ability to change your view on all kinds of things. And so having the view that all the things that we think we can find happiness in also have that seed of suffering. So I may work really hard because I can't wait to have that car. You know, I know my life is going to be different when I have that car. And it's true, there's going to be some things that are different when I have that car. But it could also be the thing that ends up killing me. Or it could be the thing that I no longer can pay the bills, and now it's just a problem. So there's nothing that we can really rest on and say, now I found it, because it's constantly changing. And so we talked about the three kinds of sufferings. And One of the things that I just want to mention is that a lot of the terms don't translate perfectly to English. So we have to find, just the way I changed or I added to attachment last time I talked about it also means grasping. There's very positive attachments that we need to develop in life. But the attachment that we're talking about here is more of the grasping. So I like the analogy of, is this visualization I always have. You're leaving a train station and you don't want to go and you're clinging to the platform. It's that kind of clinging that's going to cause the problem. The problem isn't really in the journey that you're headed on, but you really want to stay at that train station. You're clinging onto the platform. So it's that kind of, that's very dramatic, but there's lots of little ways that we cling that cause the same problem. So, you know, if that word doesn't quite fit, just remember it's about clinging and grasping. And same thing with suffering. Suffering we kind of think is usually enormous. But some of the translation actually points more towards unease, that this realm that we live in is full of unease. We can't, you know, just know that this is solid. This happiness is going to stay because it could very soon flip and become the very opposite. So once we know that everything that we are trying to find here in this realm to bring us that kind of happiness has that seed of unease or suffering, this helps us develop the wish to be free of this prison. So we talked about the three kinds of suffering, the suffering of suffering, the general suffering. Everybody understands this. You know, I had a toothache, you have a headache, my leg hurts. These are all just, we all understand that suffering or unease. Then the suffering of change, which means we actually, once we're relieved of that suffering, you know, I move my leg, I no longer have that pain. Oh, now that's good. That change makes me feel like I'm happy. But then if I stayed in this other position, it's going to flip back to that other. So it just never is steady. So the suffering of change and then the suffering of pervasive suffering, which is that because I'm here, because I have teeth, I have this toothache. Because I have a foot, I have this pain. Because I have developed the causes and conditions to have this human life and I'm not out of this samsaric cycle, I have the potential to constantly have these different types of suffering. So that should catch us up. But what I want to focus on this class is the delusions that we all carry around, because what is it that keeps us in this prison? Why are we circling through? A lot of us sitting here studying this are really ready to end this. So why can't we? Why can't we just get out? And that's where that you're going to look at and read about in between classes. If you look at the very center of it, it's going to have three images, and it's focusing on the prime mental delusions. And what we look at, what's a delusion? One definition is it's a mental affliction. It's a mental state that makes the mind unpeaceful. Okay, so it's a mental state that makes the mind unpeaceful. Excuse me. And so one of those mental states is anger. Most people are not really looking to get angry. I mean, it's not like, well, I can't wait to get angry at this person. It's going to be so much fun. It's just, and when we go back to the whole idea of intent, an angry state of mind is the mind that has a harmful intent, that wishes harm. And so, like I said before, you know, the law is also looking at your intention, whether something was accidental, and so there was no intent. That's a different kind of legal remedy or legal punishment than if you had kind of a middle intent or a very vicious intent, right? So even the law recognizes the importance of intent. So if your mind is if that part of you is taken over, and that's what's driving the train, is the angry part of you with a harmful intent, that just colors everything around you. You know how your whole day changes if you've got anger, right? You can feel it in your body. Sometimes you're a little bit outside of your body. So the other mental affliction that we're talking about is attachment, the clinging. It's another way to look at it is it's a desire that clings after something that you have mentally elaborated on. Because if this was something gorgeous and desirable inherently from its own side, every single person on the planet would be desiring that exact piece of cake. But some people get sick when they eat that cake. And if you ate that thing, that cake that you're desiring too much, you would also be sick. So it's not really, again, it's not this steady remedy for your desire. So we already know all kinds of ways that attachment, clinging, desire brings us suffering. But it also starts with the intent, the mental elaboration on this object. And then ignorance, which is the mind that's unclear and confused. And what is it unclear and confused about? Specifically when we're talking about Dharma, it's unclear and confused about the nature of existence, how we come into existence, what is cause and effect. So we talk a lot in Buddhism about cause and effect, about how things come into being dependent on certain causes and conditions. They're not just random. That's a whole nother class, but just basic, in a nutshell, studying cause and effect gives us this confidence that we can create the causes and conditions to free ourselves. That's the whole point. It's not to lay blame or judgment on ourselves or others. It's to help us understand that whatever's on our plate, we have the ability to work with it in order to create the causes and conditions for something better. So ignorance is the delusion that doesn't understand that and is confused. And so you'll see in the middle of the three wheels, these three creatures chasing each other. And you'll see the pig represents ignorance, the snake represents anger, and the rooster represents pride, attachment, and they're all kind of biting at each other, going round and round. What that just means is that, you know, we have these things that are spinning around. They create causes for us to keep spinning. So if everything that we do with our body, speech, and mind, these are called the three gates, because through our body, our speech, and our mind, we are relating to others, interacting with others, and creating more seeds, more energy, however you want to think of it. Through those actions of body, speech, and mind, we are creating seeds that will ripen at some point. Does that make sense? Does that sound kind of out there? But, you know, as you walk through your day, you're doing so with your body, speech, and mind. And how your mind is viewing things, what your intention is, affects everything that your body and speech are doing. And it's through these things that we're creating problems or good things. So in looking at these delusions then, they kind of take over a lot of times, but there are antidotes to them, and that we're going to talk about these antidotes in a lot today. What I want to stress though is the importance of not just building a road around them. So when we're working on antidotes, it's that we're trying to create other habits and other muscles and other options. But maybe some of you have heard the term spiritual bypass, which is a way to just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to go around that over here and stay way above it all and not really even think about the roots cause of this anger that I feel. I've done that a lot in my life, and so I'm not saying that's the wrong way. I feel like we can use our wisdom to help us digest and understand what triggers me versus what triggers you. So I'm responsible for me, so I can really look at what triggers me and use the antidotes to help me develop more options. It's kind of like creating more rooms in my psyche that I can activate, but not just bypassing them, not saying, oh, I don't want to get angry, so I'm just going to think about all these things over here that are beautiful. it just is, then this anger is just sitting here. This angry part of me is just sitting there and hasn't been given any attention. And I feel like it's going to explode at some point because it is a part of me. So, let's look at anger. So what I've listed here on the board are, I think last time we talked about the six delusions, and these are the antidotes. So let's go right into the middle of anger. This is one we all can relate to right now these days. And so the antidote to all of these is just its opposite, is love, patience, kindness, and compassion. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm in the midst of being angry, that's a tall order. So the point is to try to develop these things, not when anger is all flared up, but to meditate on the benefits of not losing my patience, so that it's like, and the image I have is, it's like clearing new land. It's like creating this whole other space that only really happens, I think, or happens best in a meditation. And really building the foundation for that, so that we have more options, more room to expand that. That's why Geshe-la talks about it as like a stomach. And then when you've been sick and you haven't eaten for a long time, how your stomach is shrunk and you need to slowly expand your stomach. You can't just, you know, eat a huge meal. So that's what we're trying to do with our patients. When we meditate on it, we're trying to expand that ability so that when we find ourselves in a situation that's challenging, we can start to apply some of the antidotes to it. One of the ways there's a couple of things that I want to say about this. One is, I feel like our delusions are, how do I say it? Well, I'll tell you a little story first. I told you before, I took care of my mother for about 6 years, and she had vascular dementia. And one day it really struck me. It's different than Alzheimer's, because her memory was fairly intact, but her behavior was different. And she at one point thought that, she came to live with me after Katrina destroyed New Orleans, and she had some of her stuff with her, which was very precious to her, and she would go through it all the time. And she had her sewing machine, which she'd had since before I was born, down in our basement. And in the morning, she was convinced that I'd been down there messing with her sewing machine. First of all, I don't sew. So the last thing I had time to do was go downstairs to the basement and play with her sewing machine. But that didn't matter, because this was her delusion. It was 100% true to her. Right? So I remember thinking at one point, like, oh, we all have dementia. It's just different versions of it. Hers is completely, that's her reality, right? I have my own dementia. So like during the day when certain things would happen or I'd have a tiff with somebody, I'd think, oh, that's their dementia. This is my dementia. It really, really helped. And what I did with my mom, in that scenario, because I've been learning about something about how to work with people who have dementia, is you enter their dementia and you don't try to reason with them and say, that's not true. That didn't happen. I did not go down there. That didn't work. Instead, I tried compassion. I tried kindness, instead of being defensive and arguing and trying to reason with somebody who is in their own world. And I tried to figure out, what is it that she wants? Oh, she wants to make sure her sewing machine is safe. So I said, do you want to take it to this, I remember that once a year she would take it to get the engine tuned up, cleaned up. So I said, do you want to take it to the Singer shop? Like, we can get it tuned up there. And she was just over the moon. So we spent a couple of days doing that. So likewise with our own anger, we often forget to include us in the compassion, in the patience, in the kindness. We go right to like, oh, I should be kinder to that person. That's true. But what about you? We can't just ditch our feelings and just like, okay, I don't have the anger. I'm worried about you. I don't know that that's, you know, for me at least, I don't know that it's entirely genuine. So being kind and compassionate to our own dementia is really important. And I want you to think about, because I'll walk you through one example of mine, but I want you to think about something that was very upset, you know, that made you angry recently. It could be something small. You don't have to share it, so don't worry. It could be something small, or it could be something huge. You know, maybe it was small, something in traffic or something large. It would make it more personal, not just anger at the world. So something in your life. And kind of really go through some of this, the scenarios and the situation. I want you to see it visually in your mind, because we're going to use it in a meditation. But I'll tell you, for me, I guess maybe 9 months ago at my job, there was somebody who actually I used to get along with pretty well. Suddenly she kind of did a 180, and I didn't really understand why, but I got over it and just kept on going. And then there's a project I'm working on, and she started talking about it behind my back, going to HR, going to this new boss and trying to get it quashed. And I couldn't, you know, I have a grant to fill this project. And it didn't make any sense to me. It didn't make any sense to me. And so I was really starting to get angry. So it didn't help me just to focus on her. It did help a lot. But once I did this other thing, once I said to the part of me that was angry, no, it's not all of me. That's another important thing to remember. It's just a part of you. Is that part, where is that part? Like, what does it feel like when you get angry? Where is it in your body? Is how much has it taken over? How much is it driving the bus? Then I can be compassionate to that part of me and say, of course, this is hard. Of course, this is challenging. You know, of course you feel all these feelings. Especially if something's getting triggered that's old, you can go back, of course, because look at all this. Look at all this stuff that's led up to it. Of course. And be as compassionate to that part of yourself as you would to your favorite kid, right? I mean, whatever, you can visualize talking to it, hugging it, sitting down and listening to it. But that's the place to start. Just like when we do Tonglen, for those of you who've done Tonglen, you start with yourself. Just like when I was walking you through refuge, you're dealing with yourself, you know. So this is the place to start. So having compassion for yourself, that you're feeling this really challenging thing, and then you can start to extend it to the other person. And in my case, I could start to, this person really had a very different view. I think she actually, after doing this, I think she was having her own mental health crisis. I could only start to see that after I brought my kind of delusion down. I couldn't see it when I was full of my own stuff, right? So when I could have some compassion for my view and that settled down in my body and in my mind, I could start to see and extend the same compassion to her. And how she must be really threatened by the success of this project I was working on. It no longer was just an intellectual idea that she might be threatened. It was more in my soul, in my gut, in my cells, right? Oh, that became apparent to me. I could start to extend compassion. I could do that meditation we do in Buddhism a lot, which is, you know, when you meditate on the stranger, and then what would make that stranger a friend? What would they do in your life that would turn them into a friend? You know, it's something usually trusting. They offer you something. They're on your side. And then what would they do that would make them your enemy? That's exactly how it was with this person. Exactly. All those stages. That meditation is meant to show us that, again, nothing is permanent. You can't take refuge or have a solid view because it's constantly changing. So I also saw these stages of knowing her when I didn't really know her. And then she was, you know, somebody I went out to lunch with or, you know, knew fairly okay. And then it took this turn. So that helped me see, oh, it could take another turn. And then also asking, what part of me, you know, what's the part of me that's angry? That I'm also impermanent. You know, try to getting this really bigger picture view of the I that's angry. And the I that's angry, you know, is also not something that's fixed and permanent in space. It's also shifting. So with all of that, everything kind of settled down in me, and I wasn't necessarily being, that part of me was not running the show anymore. It wasn't responding. It wasn't reacting. It wasn't driving the bus. And this is what we can do with all of our delusions, is I feel like starting with compassion for that part of us that's getting triggered, that's upset, that's feeling attacked, or is having a hard time because it doesn't want to leave the bus station, doesn't want to leave the train station, it's holding on. Of course you want to hold on. Of course it only makes sense. And then, and offering that part of you compassion and then going from there. Otherwise, it's a lot of shoulds. All right, I should apply that antidote. I should be more patient. I shouldn't be so attached. Oh, geez. I just feel like that's so hard on ourselves, you know. If we were in prison, if we're all in really, you know, cells and everything, I would be so compassionate to each and every one of you, because your cell is just as tiny as mine. You know, the food sucks. It would be in that way. I wouldn't have to generate it, right? So. Any thoughts or questions? All right. I've been doing a whole lot of talking. Let's do a little meditation on this. Yeah? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'll repeat it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me see if I have this right. So the question was, and is it when you're trying to meditate, when you're trying to have the compassion for yourself around anger or just around anything? Okay. Okay, so how to have compassion for yourself if when you try to do that, what comes up is depression and anxiety. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. Because we don't list like depression as one of these, do we? You know? But where do you think it would fit? Where would depression fit? Okay. She's saying attachment or ignorance. Yeah. Yeah. Doubt. Yeah. Doubt could fit in doubt. It could fit in a lot of places up here, right? Wrong view. Yeah. And it certainly fits under the category of our dementia, doesn't it? My mother used to wake up in the morning and just sob. And I would ask her what she was sad about. And she would say, I don't know. And it was just like everything was just coming out. And I would have enormous compassion for her. So I don't know if it helps to think of the depressed part of, or the anxious part of ourself, or the sad part of ourself as, again, a part. And we ask that part, it's not all of us. That's where the wrong view would be, that the depressed or the anxious or the sad part of us is all of us. But it does seem like it's driving the bus. And if it's driving the bus, we can't get to all these other things that I'm talking about now, right? Because that delusion, that view has taken over. And just like I said, the delusions are the unpeaceful mind. So I think first asking that part of, I mean, really visualizing that sad part of ourself and saying something to it that's reassuring, you know, because we're wanting it to take a step back. Somehow I know you're trying to help. You know, we tell that sad part of ourself that somehow I know you're trying to help my system, my bus, whatever. But I want to see if you can just take a seat in the back of the bus for now. I'm not going to forget about you. I'm not going to forget about you. You know, being so compassionate to the way we would a child, right? I'm not going to forget about your sadness, I promise you. But let me see if you can just step back a little and see if something else wants to come in, a wiser part of me. So if it's, again, part of our ignorance and doubt, then wisdom is the antidote. So we're trying to see if we can get it to step back through our self-compassion. You know, I care about your sadness so much. I care about your anxiety and your depression. I'm not going to forget it. Just come sit back here, you know, and do whatever you, we're so creative. We could come up with like all kinds of things. The inner sad part of you wants some ice cream. Okay, you can have a whole bowl of ice cream and sit back here, and I'm going to come back for you in a minute, and I'm going to see if something else can take over for the bus. And then try to imagine the wisest part of you to come in and sit down. And what would the wisest part of you have to say right now? So let's try that. And everybody, you can use a sad part of you or an angry part or a clinging part. But first, go back and check your posture, get into a comfortable position, and I'll walk you through it. So first, just take a couple of deep breaths, filling your abdomen, relaxing. And then pick one part of yourself that you want to talk to. It could be something from today, a small thing. It could be a larger thing, something you'd like to try. And then see that part of yourself with compassion. And see how this part of yourself at that moment or in this moment is driving the system, is driving the bus, is trying to help, but because it's one of our delusions, it's not really helping, but it's trying. It wants our attention. And so with enormous love and enormous compassion, we look at this self, this part of ourselves, as though it were our favorite child who is temporarily engulfed in sadness or anger or clinging or confusion. Just take a minute to feel how much compassion and kindness you would have for this small being, the small part of yourself. And tell it you know it's hard. You know that of course it feels this way. But it doesn't have to drive the bus all the time. And encourage it to take a seat, very comfortable seat, back in the back of the bus, whatever it takes to get that part of you to step back. You're not going to forget it or ignore it or judge it or dismiss it. You're just moving it back a little bit so other parts can come in with more help. So now, as you've moved that part, ask a wiser part of yourself, or ask the patient part of yourself to come in. And talk with you. And if it's about clinging that you're working on, then ask it to remind you of the beauty of impermanence, the power of impermanence, that only because things are impermanent does freedom exist. Help this wise part of you to remember the beauty that lies in releasing clinging. If it's anger, ask this wiser part of you to remind you of your ability to be patient, the serenity in patience, the clarity that you have when you're patient versus angry, the way you drive the bus so much better when you're filled with love and patience for everyone, including yourself. And if it's pride you're working with or arrogance, have this wiser part of yourself remind you of the power of humility, of how we're all here together. We all have dementia. And if it's ignorance, doubt, wrong view, confusion, whatever delusion, see if you can tap that wise part of yourself that is not judging you, that is ready to help you and come to the front of the bus. And if you're able to tap that part of yourself, see what it feels like in your body. Like, where is this? How does your body feel? Has the energy changed? Can you feel the self-love that this part of you has? Can you feel the concern that it has for the other parts in your system? And slowly come back to the room. So any thoughts or comments? How did you find that meditation? Okay. She said, very helpful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is this a continued practice? And because you were saying it's hard to feel that wise part of yourself. 100% it's hard. 100%. That's why, I mean, this is just a little appetizer to, that's the heart of the matter, is that it's very hard. But if we get a little glimpse of it, and if we can start to understand that the sad part of us or the angry part of us or any of these things are just parts. They're not 100%, right? They're not 100% of us. And so they're parts of us, and sometimes they really want our attention for one reason or another, because maybe it's easier for me right now to feel sad than it is to feel angry or confused or whatever it is, right? Maybe the sadness needs some more attention. Maybe it needs a whole lot more of my self-compassion and awareness. And so there's all kinds of things, right? But the more I believe that the more we offer ourselves that kind of compassion that we're focusing on and we're talking about so much, the wiser part of ourselves will also start to come into play. That these aren't just things that we're, you know, trying to do out there. They're very much things we're trying to do for ourselves as well. And I think, I remember Geshe-la telling me that was my biggest problem. He says, you're not including yourself. You're saying the four immeasurables, you're saying all these prayers, but you're not including yourself. That was like really turned me around because I was just out, you know, just doing all this other stuff. But you have to start with yourself. And so I think you're very wise to know that this is the part that's getting in my way, you know. So thank you for sharing that because that's also brave, you know. Yeah. And everyone can learn from that. And so this is a perfect lesson in why it's important to start with ourselves. And so next week we'll end maybe with a little bit of Tonglen. Have you heard of Tonglen? Okay. So we'll do this meditation next week on Tonglen, which is all about self-compassion. Because if you don't start Tonglen on yourself, then it's just too intense. So this week we're just about to end now. So the whole reason I've decided to focus on this tonight instead of all these other things, all these lists, I have lots of lists and we have the whole wheel to get through, but this is the heart of the matter, is our minds. You know, this is why the Lam Rim book is called Liberations in the Palm of Your Hand, because you know yourself. It's your system. And so you're the laboratory. You're the one to know which antidote do I need to apply now. So homework is to play around with that some. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily be sitting in a chair to do this. You can be doing this when you're driving or whenever you need it to be thinking about, you know, that part of yourself as a young child that you have a lot of compassion for, and see if you can speak to it and bring in the wiser parts of you. So we're going to end with, so now because we've created all this energy by listening and talking and thinking and meditating on this topic and developing this intention, the way to dedicate it is with this prayer on page 34, if you have the books, Shanti Davis prayer. And so yeah, I remember when I first heard this prayer, I was like, oh, that's not possible. These things aren't possible. But wishing for them is possible. And in this realm, you know, in prison, it may not be necessarily possible, but this is possible for all beings to achieve the state that we are wishing for with this prayer. And as you make this wish, this is what you're dedicating the merit that you've created for. Take it away, Linda.
Okay, so this is dedication verses from Master Shanti Davis. I don't know how to say that word. Bodhicharya. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn
with toil
be restored on
finding repose.
May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may these never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power. And may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, and for as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
Thank you all very much. Hope to see you next week. Have a good week.
Thank you very much, Steve. And thank you, Linda.
Thank you all. Thank you, Linda.
It was a wonderful class.
I will stick on to show where to find the YouTube video recordings if anyone wants to stay on for that, as well as where to find the DB class program materials. So feel free to stay on for another moment or so if you'd like to.
Thank you, Linda. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. Yeah, as soon as everyone unmutes, then it's like, whoa, here they are. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to start on the Kadampa Center website, which, as many of you know, this is one of my favorite places to go. And so if you just go to kadampa-center.org, and then in your, once you have registered on Zoom and received the link and everything, you should have received a confirmation email. And in that email, it would explain where to find the Discovering Buddhism materials. But before we do that, I want to show you where streaming is real quick. So from the homepage, you just click on the streaming button here, right up here on this top line. And then that'll bring you to the Kadampa Center, Media Kadampa Center page on YouTube. And the easiest way, well, it's right at the top right now, and it says it's live. So the easiest way to find this, if it's not right here at the top, is to click on Media Kadampa Center up here, either on there or here, and then go to videos, which is right here. And that will display the most recent videos. Okay, so here's last week's right here. And here's tonight's, which is still going live. So that's the easiest way to find those. All right, so I'm going to get out of this now, maybe. And actually, let me stop share for a second. And then I want to go back to the Kadampa Center website, and I'll show you really quickly where to find the Discovering Buddhism materials. Okay, so all right, sorry. Let me just get out of this and go back to kadampacenter.org. Okay, so again, reference your confirmation email that you would have received once you enrolled in Discovering Buddhism. And then from here, you're going to make just up at the web, at the URL, you're going to put a slash and then user. And then hit enter. And then it brings you to this page, members only area. And if you don't see it, you have to scroll down and enter that username that you would have received. And so it should be DB-participant and then the password. Let me see if I can remember what it is. And again, if you don't have this, you can email me or just look for your confirmation email. And then that brings you to Discovering Buddhism Materials, and it's for the entire course. And it's all in order from most recent to least recent. So it's all here from the very beginning, Mind and Its Potential. And then up here, Samsara Nirvana, there's the information page as well as homework. So last week's homework is here. And once I get home and settled in tonight, I will post, add tonight's homework to this as well. And then just the information page where all of the readings, the online readings, and other information can be found here. Online readings, there's hyperlinks to these as well as the books. So hopefully that helped. Does anyone on Zoom have a question about finding these materials or anything else?
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you ask a question, Carmen, or did you just say thanks?
I say thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, good. All right.
Hey, Linda, I have a question.
And again, if you have questions, just let me know. And, oh, sorry, Joan, what were you saying?
Is there a link to that article on the Everest?
Yeah, so I put it in the chat. And
it's in the chat, but is it on the website?
It will be part of the homework when I post that when I get home later tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's on that homework page in that Discovering Buddhism materials.
Yeah. Usually I can't type it in correctly enough to get it.
Yeah, you can copy and paste it right now, but otherwise it'll be in the homework later on this evening when I get home.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, okay, great. Thanks for coming, everyone. Any other questions before we head out?
No, thank you.